mine came out this way, how many more did?
Oh, agreed. I agree. And it should not, we should not just simply address the ones that are here today. We need to address more than
how our assessor's office could make one mistake, and for me to think that's the only one, no way. There's probably hundreds, maybe even thousands of people who have just this exact same
problem. Agreed.
And that's why we're here, and that's why we got the joy of volunteering.
But you know, you wouldn't catch this. You wouldn't catch this until your tax bill showed up. Right. Because it was by accident that I caught it. If I hadn't called just as a point of getting some information on how the law worked and how our assessor's office worked, I wouldn't have caught this until my tax bill showed up. And it wouldn't have been this 1,600 that they told me.
It would have been more than 1,800. Yeah, how many more are not like that? I mean, there are other counties that do not put out a card like that. So, but there are a lot of people that don't have a clue. I agree.
And, we sent a card out to every single person with a residence where it went up.
Okay.
Everyone.
Okay.
We didn't just do anything above a certain percent. By law, I only have to send it out if it goes up above 15%. But we sent it even if it went up 1%.
Okay.
Okay.
Isn't the card, it's the inaccuracy of the card.
I understand that. And I don't know what we can do about the inaccuracy in the card, and I do appreciate you coming in. We are looking at this 15. You raised some very valid issues that we are going to address. I'm sorry the particular card piece did not get addressed specifically for you, but we did lower your taxes, or we lowered your appraised value today.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Mr. Help.
Thank you.
Let's see. You guys have been here for quite a while back here with the birthday guy. Right? Are you here for...
He's my appraiser.
They're the assessors.
Okay. All right. Well, welcome. We don't usually have you guys in here, so...
Appreciate what you guys do.
Yeah.
That's a tough job. Do you want to... make a motion about the 15%.
I think, we know what the levy is going to be in Hollister. I think that would...
I mean, the statute says it... I mean, is that right? The statute says it cannot go up more than 15%.
Okay, here's the qualification. Okay. Excluding increases due to new construction or improvements. So if there's new construction or improvements, this rule does not apply.
Okay.
But if... subclass 1 real property by more than 15%, it goes up by more than 15%, the assessor shall conduct a physical inspection. You don't have the manpower to do that on every property.
But we went out on this one, and I tried to tell you that, and it's the proof is in there. There's a change history in there, and there's pictures, and they're dated. And so we were at his property, and so you didn't look at the evidence, and there's nothing I can do. You've given a gift. Thank you.
Okay, you said in May that somebody went out there to look at the property.
Right.
But he also has rights under that. You have to notify him, and he has a right to be able to insist on a physical inspection inside, too, because that's not the whole part of the statute.
But they're saying that this card is what covers us. We were out there, yes. We did the assessment, yes.
Now he has
the chance to redo it.
The assessor shall notify the property owner of that fact in writing, shall provide the owner clear written notice of the owner's rights regarding physical inspection. That's the problem we're running into.
Yep. I agree.
Mr. Rush.
Mr. Rush.
You know, I'm a little
confused.
I'm way above
15%. He's in Hollister, and he's way above 15%, which address the 15% in the city of Hollister, or for the school district of Hollister.
What about making a motion for 15%?
Sir, yeah.
Who's our next one?
I mean, that's only fair. Not just in the Hollister school district.
Huh? What the assessor was saying is there any, let me ask this, is there any other school district where the levy is not changing this year, where we know the levy is not changing?
Branson, they don't have to lower theirs. They passed an amendment, a deal several years ago that they never have to roll their levy back.
I've never heard of that.
It's on the books. The voters of the Branson School District voted on it.
Well, maybe in the city, but it wouldn't have been out in Taney County.
Yes, sir.
Well, I think that would violate the Hancock Amendment.
What Susan's talking about on the Hollister School District, if I'm not mistaken, that was a debt service or a capital projects bond that they had on their levy, and they blocked that in now and extended because it would not be a tax increase to their patrons. However, the levy for Fund 1 and 2 can still adjust.
Right. In other words, the Hancock Amendment requires them to do it, is my understanding.
Possibly. The state auditor, I'm an old superintendent, so the state auditor tells you what you can set your levy at. And so if they go over a threshold, that will kick in, and it will vary 3 or 4 cents typically.
Sure.
Not much.
Cents in the, in, but how often have you seen the Hancock Amendment violated?
As far as rollbacks?
No, as far as rollbacks or increase in...
The safeguard there is that the state auditor, when I was superintendent and I would run my levy, the state auditor has to approve it, and they will take that into consideration. And if you don't roll back enough, they will catch you, and they'll make you come back another 2 cents or whatever you need to do to be legal.
Now, that's on a whole, but that's not addressing a particular person's property, correct?
Correct.
So you could have a hotel that goes up significantly, but and they're paying way more, or a house on Riverside Estates that goes up 50%.
In a perfect world, when that increase goes up in assessed valuation, levy should. I wouldn't do it as superintendent. Very few superintendents are going to roll their levies back. They're not, because they need that money to operate their schools, and they're going to take it if it's available. They're only going to do a rollback based on what the auditor, state auditor, tells them to do.
So
we did just get a letter from the state auditor's office on some school districts and political subdivisions. Stephanie went into the office to see about it, and that seemed that would have any reference to this at all.
So let's table the 15% for now. Let's see what that looks like, if you're okay with that, Greg.
Yes.
And but let's revisit the 15% rule, one for the city of Hollister, because the Hancock Amendment does not cover individual people. It covers the county as a whole, raising the whole amount. But there are people who are paying, obviously 15%, 22%, 50%, lots. So who was in here next, sir? Or who was in here first? Sorry, I don't know names.
I'm 2021-6.
All right. Well, why don't you come on up, sir?
I think I met you, some of you gentlemen, last year.
Okay.
Tanicoma Terrace in Hollister. The problem is I'm on the third floor of the buildings that do not have a walk-in. 4 years ago, I met with the state tax adjuster. It took him 5 minutes to say, hey, that's different, because we're all senior citizens. I'm 84 years old. Last year I was walking with a cane, but I had a knee done, but now my other knee's giving a problem. But the state adjuster immediately said that there is a difference. There are 8 buildings there, 96 units. Buildings 6, 7, and 8 have walk-in, as do all the Tanicoma Terrace here in Forsyth. They learn. But the first 5, you go up these stairs. And when I was meeting with the state 4 years ago, the apartment across, or the one across the hall from me, was on the market for 2 years. The price had gone down to $58,000. My son tried to buy it. They wouldn't let him because it's 55 plus. The value would be way higher. if we didn't have the 55 plus. So I called a good friend of mine that I used to face with, and I said, hey, come buy this. He came, looked at it, $58,000, but he was crippled. And he paid $22,000 more for a unit without a carport up on top of the hill, farther away from the lake, because he could walk in. And this is the case there. And the state adjuster agreed this, that the walk-in units are worth a lot more. The question here, what would I sell it for? I would sell it to anybody, whoever it was that wanted to buy it in that letter I got. I would sell it to you for what it costs to buy a similar walk-in unit that I'm in. Because they're priced like $30,000 to $40,000 higher. So I'm appealing it.
Change anything last year?
Yes, you did. You changed it last year. It was 2020-8.
Here's the motion that was made last year. David Akers made a motion to set appraised value of BOE 2020-8 to $67,409. Jeff Reynolds seconded the motion. Jeff Reynolds, aye. David Akers, aye. Greg Baker, aye.
Obviously, the value here that we're showing is substantially higher. I was just curious as to what's going on out there. What's the 203?
Again, you know, looking through our layers and finding which units are way under what the other ones are, we priced them accordingly, or valued them. The current units are selling for $95,000 to $125,000.
How do you know that?
I'm a realtor.
Do you use your MLS access to determine values?
Not for anything but to defend what I've got in BOE. I otherwise know. Because I'm
doing
that.
Is that within the rules of the MLS? Can you do that?
Yes.
This is a valid point.
Yes. And I told them I was running for assessor when I went. And there are other assessors that are real estate brokers too.
And I know in times past they've given up their MLS access because in the state of Missouri we are a non-disclosure state.
Correct. And I don't go in there.
And our legislators and the people of Missouri want it to be a non-disclosure state for a particular reason. And that is so that everybody doesn't know, because they know the government will eventually, they know what you're selling the properties for, they will raise your taxes, and that's what's happening.
But I
do take issue with you using the MLS to defend your particular valuations.
It's within my rights to do so.
I don't know if that's the case.
Well, it is the case.
So, and we're coming back to the same issue. We dealt with this last year.
Was it last year?
Yes.
Yeah.
And this is the case of exemptions, which, Donna, you've been sitting in these BOEs for
19 years.
Okay, there you go. And you haven't sat in for the last couple years for whatever reason. Wesley's taking care of it. But you've sat in a lot of these. In times past, we've had very heavy dockets with lots and lots of stuff. What's been your experience if something is set by the BOE? What has been your experience if something's set by the BOE in the past? Is it re-looked at the next year or the following year? What
are you referring to, the assessor's books?
I'm referring to a BOE decision on a particular property.
Okay, so when we come into BOE, does the BOE look at that? Is that what you're asking me?
No, I'm asking you. We looked at his last year. Mm-hmm. We had another one that we looked at.
Jeff,
so they're trying to tell me that I can't change that in an assessment year. If I go out and reassess, that my new value can't come in because it was supposed to be locked in for 2 years, is what he's saying. But I checked with the state, and they're telling me, If it's an assessment year, then I can change it.
If it is a reassessment year, and the assessor deems that property value has increased from the BOE decision, and she can she can explain why.